We're all welcoming her into our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. More specifically, we're welcoming her into Srila Prabhupada's family, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Of course, she's been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years now. I actually remember her from Durban, South Africa, when she was one of the little girls who used to run around the temple room during the programs and make a lot of noise. And now she's grown up into a fine Vaishnavi. And of course, this is part of Bhajana Kriya, or the process of following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness as outlined by our previous acharyas. You could say, in one sense, it's a quantum leap, the step of it, formally accepting a bona fide spiritual master and agreeing to all the rules and regulations for the rest of one's life. It's no small thing, because in this material world, there's very few people to begin with who are even interested in spiritual life. What to speak of pure devotional service. Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasresu kaschidyatate shidhaye. Out of millions and millions of men and women, he said, there's hardly one who's interested in the science of self-realization. And of those who are, he said, hardly one understands me in truth. So to be a transcendentalist is something very rare. What to speak of being a pure transcendentalist, a Vaishnava. And to come to the point of renouncing this world, I mean, that's basically what a Vaishnava does by this process of initiation. One time, when Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas initiation to my dear godbrother, Satsvarup Maharaj, he handed him his danda and said, never look back and think that you've left anything important behind. And never envy the position of the materialistic householders. So, of course, that's sannyas, but in essence, we're all renouncing this world, because Prabhupada said sense gratification and pure devotion, they don't go well together. So some of us do it immediately, and some of us do it gradually, but we're all renouncing this world for the higher goal of pure devotional service to Krishna. So that this young lady is making this very bold attempt to something significant, and we're happy that you're all here, because we need as much help as we can in making that courageous step and embracing the feet of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, it's not just an affair between the spiritual master and the disciple. Not at all. There's three parties involved. Narottam Das Thakur says, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. We need the mercy of Hari, of Krishna, he who takes away all inauspiciousness. Actually, the spiritual master is representative of the Lord. And by serving the spiritual master, we hope to awaken our love for Krishna. So we need Krishna, we need spiritual master, and we need the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks they can become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees is living in a hallucination. Just like we come to realize Krishna through the mercy of our spiritual master, also in the association of our god brothers and our god sisters and the general devotees, we learn properly how to serve Srila Prabhupada and our own spiritual master. So these are three essential ingredients. So today we have the Lord here in a variety of very beautiful forms. It's always a joy to visit this temple because the deities are so beautiful and they're so well taken care of. You take such nice care of your deities, and I think that is the source of all the success here in Philadelphia, if our movement. And we have Srila Prabhupada in a very aristocratic, gorgeous, pure devotional way, looking down upon us. It's very nice that Vyasa-san's a little higher than most Vyasa-sans in our movement. I always like that, because it's like we really feel ourselves to be his servants when we're sitting here. And we have all of you here giving your blessings for her progress in Krishna consciousness. So we'll have a short class from the Bhagavatam on the importance of initiation, and then we'll continue with the ceremony. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, entitled Questions by the Sages, text number 22. Tvam na sandarshito datra dushtaram nishtitirshatam kalim sattva haram pumsham karnadara ivaranam. Translation: we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: the age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization, but due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Śrīta Gosvāmī, or his bona fide representative, as captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. So again today we are accepting Śrīya as our bona fide disciple in our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This ceremony, many times Śrīla Prabhupāda would compare this ceremony to second birth. First birth is from the womb of a mother. Garbha is the Sanskrit terminology for womb. Like sometimes we talk about the womb of nature. We have Garbha Dakshayi Vishnu. When Krishna expands as Vishnu, one of the Vishnu expansions, and comes into the womb of material nature. And that womb is by nature dark. And darkness is sometimes compared to ignorance. So the first birth from our mother, from the garbha, from the womb of our mother, it's a birth into ignorance. I don't think anyone can challenge that. When we come out of the womb, we know nothing. Nothing materially, what to speak of anything spiritually. And we spend a good portion of our life just getting an education to survive in this world. I mean, if a student follows the general course, then one quarter of his life is just material education so that you can survive. These days it's very competitive. I was speaking with some of the children, one of the temples I visited, and what they're learning in third grade, I was learning in seventh grade when I was a kid. It's so competitive. And so up to 25, one quarter of your life, you're trying to overcome the ignorance. And what to speak of the spiritual ignorance? That takes a lifetime, or many lifetimes, to overcome. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlava. Krishna says, after many thousands of births, one who is in full knowledge surrenders to me. So no one can deny that we're born into ignorance. And that's demonstrated by the fact that we have this material body. This body is nothing to be proud of. This body essentially is a sign of our independence from God. When you fall from grace, when you fall from the spiritual world, the soul becomes covered by a material body so that we can fulfill our material desires, which means desires independent of God. That's nothing to be proud of. From Brahma down to the insignificant ant, it's a fallen condition. Of course, our Brahma is an exception. He's a pure devotee. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to Brahma's position. He said, I would rather be born as an insect in the house of a devotee than to be a non-devotee Brahma. So it's all a fallen condition, yet we celebrate our birthdays. I sometimes wonder how this entered into the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, there's a birthday, and then, you know, may you never take birth again, they say, may you never, but still, we're not, we shouldn't really honor, I don't think when Prabhupada was here that we ever did that we had birthday celebrations. Not that we don't want to honor the devotees, we want to honor each and every devotee, but perhaps this is the day we should celebrate, when they take their real birth. This is real birth, just like we had our material mother and our material father. So the spiritual masters are our spiritual father, and he gives birth to our spiritual life. And there's a wonderful verse, source unknown, but quoted several times by Srila Prabhupada, to this effect, that by following the instructions of our spiritual father, we never have to take birth again, truly. And that verse is, Janame, Janame, Shabe, Pita, Mata, Paya, Krishna, Guru, Nahimili, Bajahari, A. I used to know, but in old age, memory's fading. Everyone gets a mother and father, but if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer the material energy and return back home, back to Godhead, by serving the Lord. So just as the material father plants the seed in the garbh and the womb of his wife for conception, similarly at the moment of initiation, the spiritual father awakens the seed of devotion within the heart of the disciple. It's not actually that he plants the seed. It's not a perfect analogy. That seed of devotion for the Lord is always there in our hearts. Prabhupada said that this bhakti, this devotion, is not something that we obtain from some other source. Jiver Swapoya Krishnera Nityadas. Eternally we're all servants of Krishna, but we become covered by the potency of Maya. She throws us down and she covers us, and we think, I'm this body, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm German, I'm black, I'm white, I'm yellow, I'm... This is all Maya. Maya means an illusion. What we are is that we're all servants of Krishna. That seed is like in a dormant state, you could say. Just like you go to the store now, it's springtime, spring has sprung. Krishna says, of seasons I'm flower-bearing spring. So this is a nice time to travel around America. You see all the little colorful flowers popping their heads up. It reminds me, Prabhupada said, the only opulence left in Kali Yuga is flowers. Not enough gold to go around. There's so little, people become envious of each other. But not like previous ages. There's plenty of gold. And now there's just enough flowers, and they're very beautiful. Prabhupada said no time, they represent Krishna's smile. So spring has sprung, so now's the time for planting. So you go to the market and you buy the seeds off the shelf. And those seeds are all in a dormant state. They're there. The flowers, the plants, the trees, they're there inside the seed in a dormant state. And they can stay there for years and years until someone buys them and comes home and tills the soil and puts some fertilizer in, like that, and then puts the seed in, and then waters the seed, and then it begins to germinate, and it grows into a healthy plant which produces flowers and eventually fruits. So our situation is like that. We all have the seed of bhakti, the seed of devotion to Krishna in our heart. Even the atheist has it. It's not that he doesn't have it. Even the atheist has it. He's really covered. But it's there. And really what the spiritual master does in initiation is that he gives us the process for watering that seed. And that watering process, of course, is the chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And this is an amazing process because unlike, you know, the watering of ordinary seeds in the garden, you know, come autumn, they'll dry up and, you know, again become dormant during the winter. This seed of bhakti, if you water it every day, as Prabhupada instructed us, you have to, the watering process is 16 rounds every day, no less. You can do more, but you can never do less. That was Prabhupada's instructions on deity worship. Once you establish a standard, you can always increase, but you should never decrease the standard of your deity worship. So similarly with chanting our 16 rounds, Prabhupada said this is the most important instruction of the spiritual master, and it cannot be neglected in any way. And if you do like that, Prabhupada said that that's that little plant of bhakti, it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and eventually it breaks through the coverings of the material universe, and the galaxies, and whatever else is out there, who knows? The last frontier. But we know that it goes and it breaks through the whole material world and it goes beyond that Viraja river and it goes into Vaikuntha. And in the case of ourselves, devotees of Lord Chaitanya, followers of the six Goswamis and Śrīla Prabhupāda, it continues through Vaikuntha. Maybe a few devotees get off at Ayodhya Dham or something, but in general, those who are members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness understood that they're followers of Lord Chaitanya who's teaching us Braja Bhakti, or pure devotion to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So this plant goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, where Prabhupada said it rests at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and it produces the fruits, and the fruits and flowers of love, which is manifest in service. If you love someone, you serve them. So then we serve Krishna there. So essentially, by getting this mantra, we have the opportunity, if we're serious about the watering process, if you neglect the plant, it'll dry up. So sometimes we see devotees leave Krishna consciousness, not because of any fault of the movement or the process, but their own inability to apply the process. So our hope is that Shriya will water this plant very seriously every day by the chanting of her rounds and the reading of Prabhupada's books and being a good wife as well to her husband and good devotee in the community and serving, and that within a very short time her fruits and flowers will be offered directly to Krishna by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. At one time in India in the 1930s, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, he made a very bold statement. He said, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. But it does mean that the possibility is certainly there. And by chanting, she's already starting to leave. Of course, someone can say, I don't see her leaving. Her two feet are planted firmly on the soil of Philadelphia. But you can say she's preparing to leave. This is a devotee. Devotees, like Jesus said, he's in this world, but he's not of this world. We're going about our daily affairs, something like, Prabhupada said, a woman who's married but has a paramour, that, you know, she's married but she's always thinking of her lover at some distant place. We cannot neglect our responsibilities to, you know, ourselves, our bodies, our families, our society, our country. Devotee's not irresponsible like that. Prabhupada said, to make the best use of a bad bargain. We go through life But internally, we're always cultivating this spirit that I'm not really of this world. I'm a stranger in a strange land. I'm actually Krishna's devotee. And as we go through our daily activities, we're cultivating this inner mood of devotional service for Krishna, who's our real lover in the ultimate sense, just like the caterpillar. At one stage of her life, she rolls herself up into a little cocoon and she meditates on her higher nature. She's not an ugly bug. Ugly bug with, like, you know, so many hundreds of legs and little feet. She's a beautiful butterfly. So she rolls herself up in a cocoon and then she cultivates that inner mood as a butterfly. And then one day, like my favorite butterfly when I was a kid was called the monarch butterfly. In California, we had lots of them, especially during that migration season. I forget when it was. They would just fly through by the thousands. I would just sit there on the porch and just watch. And then whenever, you know, they'd come, always something good would happen to me. So I got this kind of superstition. Whenever I saw a monarch butterfly, something good would happen. And actually, the day I met the devotees, I saw a beautiful monarch butterfly. And even now, sometimes I see it. Of course, I know it's superstition, but anyway, you know, hold on to these things for a while. Actually, it's all Krishna. He's the source of all auspiciousness for us. But like that, so we go about our daily affairs. We're not irresponsible. Responsible members of society, perhaps more than others. Prabhupada said devotees should be perfect ladies and gentlemen. They should dress nicely. They should act nicely. They should set a very good example. Then people will look at us and think, what fine ladies and gentlemen, what are they doing? Oh, we're practicing Krishna consciousness there. So in our hearts, we're cultivating that mood. And that's called what? That's called sadhana. Sadhana bhakti. Devotional service in practice. It means that we have, just like the caterpillar, she goes within. We have to find the time every day for cultivating that inner spirit of devotional service, which manifests externally as our service to Guru and Granth. You have to. Prabhupada said that over-endeavor is a cause of fall down. Over-endeavor means we're so busy, we don't have time to attend to our sadhana. Our shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu shmaranam, essentially. There's 9 processes, but the most important is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We need to put that time aside every day. And if we're so busy that we can't do it, then expect that there might be a fall down, either temporary or perhaps permanent fall down. We have to reserve that time. And it's so nice on the request of the spiritual master, that's our time with Krishna, if you think about it. When you're sitting and chanting every day, in your japa, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. What are you doing? You're talking to God. That's actually what you're doing. What are you saying? Oh, it's just 3 words. Now, what are you saying? The whole Shikshastakam is the mood in which we pray to the Lord. So as our chanting evolves, as we purify the heart, Chaito Dharpanam Arjanam, we purify our heart, and our bhakti becomes manifest, then we go from shraddha to prema. We go from the initial stage of chanting through, like for example, Son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. That's our initial request. It goes more advanced. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. He shall always remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's always my worshipable Lord unconditionally. This is the Atman Nivedan, the stage of full surrender, the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. So that, of course, we can't imitate that. We're back at the beginning, verse 1 or 2 of Shikshastakam prayers. But at least we're there. Confucius said the longest journey begins with the first step. So we're starting, and that is our time every day when we sit and chant our japa, particularly, and when we hear the Bhagavatam, watering the Tulsi plant, worshipping our spiritual master. Those are very intimate moments in the association of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. And we should relish them. We should relish them because they protect us from the influence of this material energy. And what's more important is they awaken our love for the Lord. So we can't compromise. But unfortunately, we see we do. But the results are that you may not attain pure devotion in this lifetime, and you may have to come back. Even advanced devotees, if they hold on to any material attachment, have to come back to fulfill it. There's a saying that a criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. So if we have this illicit desire, this criminal desire to be act separately from Krishna, you have to come back. And again into the garba, into the dark womb. And if you forget, just read the Bhagavatam. There's a very clear description of what that's like. So we have to appreciate this chanting. It's no small thing. Sometimes we're guilty of familiarity, but really, by discussing the glories of the holy name, we realize our good fortune in getting that blessings to chant from our spiritual master. What does it do? There's three essential things the holy name does. It burns to ashes the results of our past sinful activities, sinful reactions. It uproots material desires, and it awakens prema or bhakti. Nothing in this world that can give you such benefit. Nothing. All the gold, the diamonds, the rubies, the sapphires, all the greenbacks, the dollars, because they're not worth anything anymore. They used to be. The English pound, euros, the yen, like that. You put it all on one side, all the opulence from Svargalok down to what scraps are there in Nagalok. You put it on one side of the scale and you put one of Krishna's names on the other side of the scale. Far, the advantage of the holy name far outweighs anything. Just see. These sinful reactions, they make life very difficult. They're like little seeds in the heart. And Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion that some of them are manifesting now, some will manifest in a week, some will manifest in a future birth. Like, you know, Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop. They're coming to life. And what do they manifest as? They manifest as illness and court cases and accidents and bewilderment and distress. Of course, sometimes they manifest as, if they're pious seeds, they manifest as, you know, a good birth or beauty or riches. But for a devotee, those can also be obstacles on the path of devotion. So when spiritual master takes your karma at the time of initiation, you have to understand he's taking the good seeds and the bad seeds, so think twice if you want to get initiated. You get a clean slate where you can only perform pure devotional service. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalena krishnu shilanam bhaktir uttama. But that's very powerful, that chanting. It takes away all that karma. It makes things a little bit easier. Otherwise, once I bought a car from somebody, and even as I drove, it was an old car, I drove it away, it started to fall apart. And by the time I got home, there was like 8 or 10 things that were wrong with the car, and I said, wow, what a journey. But life's like that. Life is a combination of good and bad, and mainly because we're in Kali Yuga, mainly life's tough. They said, life's tough and then you die. Or Prabhupada said, struggle for existence, the human race. They only hope your divine grace. So a lot of that is taken away. Of course, some remnants are left to keep us serious, keep us on our toes in Krishna consciousness. When anything happens to a devotee, it's initiated devotee, it's understood, it's under the direction of the Lord. But a lot of that is taken away so that we have time to sit peacefully and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Of course, the Ganges can also do that. Prabhupada said that's why people live on the bank of the Ganges, because at the Ganges, if you bathe in the Ganges regularly, you get freed from sinful reactions. But the Ganges, with all due respect, cannot remove material desire, but the holy name can. So this is the real glories of the holy name. What to speak of the benefit that one achieves by chanting, in getting prema at a later stage of shuddhanam, chanting the holy name purely. There's the clearing, there's the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and then the pure chanting of the holy name. But that you can only get if you get initiated. Freedom from sinful reaction, freedom from material desires, you can get up until the point of initiation. But to get prema, you have to receive the mantra through the Guru Parampara, through the disciplic succession. And that is essentially the importance of initiation. Because you make such a big commitment, you get a big result. You get out of something what you put into it. So this is a big commitment to follow these vows. It's a declaring war on the material energy. But if you chant properly, Krishna will help you at every stage. And we'll get that that prema. So this prema is actually the most valuable thing. But if you have something valuable, watch out. Because in this world, there's always thieves. Like Prabhupada said, you know, we shouldn't put real jewels on our deities because it will attract people to the deity for the wrong reason. The thieves will come and want to steal them. And I know in my lifetime I've had things stolen from me many times, just being living in this world. My favorite guitar was stolen when I was 14. It took me 5 years to get over it. And even in Krishna College, I've had books, I've had, you know, handbags, I've had things. This is a padam padam yat vi padam natesham. There's always thieves who want to get something for nothing. So this is the most valuable treasure. And those treasures which are most valuable, they keep them in very secure places like museums. And they have guards and security. So this is the most, so expect that this valuable treasure of the holy name by which you can have fulfill all of your heart's desires to love Radha and Krishna, there's thieves who are going to try to steal it, and we know who they are. They're not like, you know, we know who they are. They're Mr. Lust, Mr. Anger, and Mr. Greed, and they live in the heart. And if you don't control them, they'll steal that seed of bhakti, they'll steal that treasure of Krishna consciousness, they'll take away that privilege to chant the holy name. So how do we protect ourselves? We build a little barrier around this little bhakti lata bija by figuratively by promising to follow four rules and regulations. That's how you protect that little treasure house. At the moment of initiation, the disciple says, Guru Maharaj, I promise no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And if we're very, very strict in following those rules and those regulations, then it's very hard for Maya to get that tender creeper. Like in India, you see that. When I first went to India, there were these huge, like, you know, round or square fences along the side of the road. What are they building those gigantic? And there was one tiny little plant at the bottom. What's going on? Oh no, Maharaj, the cow and the sheep, they come and they eat those tender little leaves, so we have to build these big barriers around. So here you have no meat eating, no intoxication, no cyclic gambling. And that way that safely can grow. So this is very scientific, this process. And if we're serious about following the four rules and regulations, and we're serious about chanting our rounds, then again, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, and Prabhupada said in it also many times, possible to go back home, back to Godhead. So please, all of you, you give Shriya your blessings today. It's not just the spiritual master, as I said. It's God, and it's the spiritual master and the devotees. So God is here, and Prabhupada is here, and you're here. Let us all combinedly, is that a proper English word? let us all together now give her our blessings for her progressive march, her successful progressive march. Back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.